Okay, Parshas Noach, a lot to talk about. It's good to be back.
Yes.
It's been 5 weeks, 4 weeks, 4 weeks without, 5 weeks since we've seen each other. I've seen some of you, obviously. We had a beautiful Yontif here at the Young Israel, and thank you for all those who were here and partook and had a good time, hopefully. Now we're back to the routine. And I wanted to start off with one of my favorites in terms of an idea that I came up with. The truth is I came up with it probably... when I was what they called a baby rabbi. I don't know what you would call me now, but when I was a baby rabbi in my eyes in Riverdale, so I came up with it for a drasha once, but I never wrote it down. And then a couple years ago in Kansas, I said, I got to flesh this idea out, et cetera. So then I came up with a shiur. And in order to get us off on the right foot, I thought we would start with this shiur because I think it's very interesting in terms of, there are different models of drashas. This is how I'll start. Different models of drashas. There are some drashas which are intriguing because they change, they give you a new piece of information you never thought about. Right? There are things that, like, you never thought, oh, I never thought about that aspect of human interaction. There's something like that. And then there are some drashas which are intriguing because they take something that you know already and they show you something about that idea or that, that piece of information that you never thought about before. And then it's not necessarily the case that it brings you to a new piece of information that you never knew, but a new way of looking at a piece of information you always did know. And this is one of those drashas where we look at Parshas Noach, and we've gone through it every single year, and it's this cute story about the flood and about, Noach and all the people and the ark and everything, and we get the kids involved, and it's beautiful. But oftentimes when you look at the story with a more analytical lens, you'll find that you see things in the story you never thought were there before. And this is one of those classes which I feel people oftentimes get that feeling. So hopefully we can go through it together. And the truth is that when we read it, you'll already start to see nuances you never hooked up on yourself. Because oftentimes when we go in the story and, the rabbi speaks about the same ideas and, we hear the laning, we don't necessarily focus on the words. So here we'll read the words in source number one or on page 36 in your Chumash. Page 36 in the Chumash on... Perek Ches, chapter 8, Pasuk Vav, verse 6. And we're going to pick this up towards the end of the flood. This is about time where Noach is trying to think about, okay, how are we going to get out of here? What's the exit plan? How are we going to live after this existence? So here you'll find in the first source, Vayihi miketz arba'im yom. It was after 40 days. After 40 days, presumably, that the water stopped or that the water stopped rising. And Noach opened up the window of the teva that he made. So it's interesting that at least the midrash that we'll see soon, although we might not see it inside, explains that this is actually a proof for a Rashi, one of the opinions that Rashi brings. When Rashi describes how Noach makes the teva, so Hashem says, Tzohar tasala teva. Make a tzohar. What's a tzohar? Tzohar is a light. What's a light? Rashi tells us it's one of two things, two opinions in the Midrash. Either it means a window, or it means a stone that would glow. It was a sort of a miraculous stone Hashem would give to Noach that would glow. That's a tzohar. So here the Midrash says that this pasuk lends credence to the opinion that Sohar means a window. Because here the Pasuk says explicitly that Noach opened the window, which means that there must have been a window, right? Now the other opinion probably thinks that there was a window and there was a stone, right? Because it can't get out of the Pasuk says window. There's no ways of getting around that. But maybe there would be a proof to that opinion in the fact that it references it differently. That if Hashem said Sohar the first time, it must be talking about something else when it says Chalon. It can't be the same thing, but for a different time. And so here Noach opens the window that he made. And then it says in Pasuk Zayin, Vayishalachas ha'orev, vayetze yatzov ashov ad yivoshes hamayim yal ha'aretz. And he sent out a raven, and the raven went out and came back until the water would recede. And then the Pasuk says, Vayishalachas ha'yonah me'itol lir'os ha'kalu hamayim yal p'nei adamah. And then Noach sends out a dove to see if the water had receded from the land. Does anyone have any questions?
Why one and then the other?
Right.
Right. First of all, why do we need both? Right? Why, if you're going to be sending someone else to see if the land is dry, so then send one of them out. Why do we need both of them? But there's much more here. Or maybe much less. What else is difficult.
How many times did you send the raven out?
How many times did you send the raven? From the pasuk, it seems like once. Let's keep reading.
But it says until the water is dried up. So does that mean
it? Does it say that?
Well,
it does say until the water is dried, but what until the water is dried out?
He sent
them out. No, it doesn't say that.
It went to and from
until the water is dried out. Noach only sent him out once.
So he just kept going.
Okay, so here we have pasuk test. V'lo matza yonah manoach l'kafra agla v'tashav elav al ha'teva kimayim al p'nei ha'kal ha'aretz v'shlach edel v'kachav yavir oso elav el ha'teva. And Noach then sends out, and the Yonah can't find any place to sit down, and he comes back to Noach. Because there is still water everywhere, Noach brings it back in the teva. Keep going. Vayachel od shivas yom achirim. They waited another 7 days. Vayosef shalach sayonah to min ha'teva. Noach sends out the Yonah again, the dove again. Vatoy lav hayna leiz erev hineiz aliz ayis taref mafia. And then he has an olive branch in his mouth. Vayida Noach ki kalu amayim. And then he knew that the water had receded enough for the Yonah to get this branch. Vayachel od shivas yom achirim. Vayshalach sayonah v'losva oshuv elav od. Then Noach sends out the dove for good. And the dove doesn't come back. So, what is the difficulty with this paragraph?
So where's the raven?
What happened to the raven? And what about originally?
Why did Noah send the raven? Why didn't he send out the dove to begin with?
If he's going to stick with the dove,
right.
The dove comes back, he sends it back out, he comes back, he sends it back out. If he's going to go over and over again with the dove, so then just do that from the first place. What was the purpose of the raven? And even furthermore, if you look at the pasuk very carefully, in pasuk ches, what does the pasuk say? Vayishalach es hayonah meito. Noach sent out the raven from himself. Why? Liros hakalu hamayim. In order to see if the water had receded. Go one pasuk back. Vayishalach es ha'orev. And he sent out the raven. Why? I don't know. It doesn't say. When it comes to the Yonah, Vayishlach Hayonah, Liros Hakulamayim, to go see. Yonah, please go tell me if there's any place on land. Raven? Nothing. He's got no mission. Even stranger than what?
He just sent him out.
Vayishlach Hayonah, just sent him out. Rashi tells us in source number 2, Yatzov Vashov, the raven went back and forth. Holech umakif sevivos ha'teva. He went around and around the table. He just went in circles. In source number 2, V'lo halach b'shlichuso. And he didn't go on his mission. That's a little strange.
What was
his mission? Rashi, what are you talking about?
What was it?
Lo halach b'shlichuso. What was his shlichus? What was his mission? What was he supposed to do? He says, Shehaya choshto. Why didn't he go on his mission? Whatever his mission was, he didn't do it. Why? Shehaya choshto al bas zugo. Because he was worried about his wife. Or his spouse. I'm not sure if there's a boy or girl. He was worried about his spouse. Kemosha Shani Bagaras Chelak, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that the raven was worried that Noach was going to steal his spouse. Whatever that means. Strange, I get it. It's Perek HaChelak, you got to take it with a little bit of a figurative lens.
What is
that? Oh, Perek HaChelak is the 10th Perek of Sanhedrin, and it has a bunch of different interesting stories and interpretations that maybe are not so literal. Maybe. I can't tell you one way or another. It depends on the story. A lot of stories. But it's definitely something which enters into an area that I'm not familiar with.
Is it possible that the raven is also a bird of prey?
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps
good.
If you're sending him out, he's searching to see if there's anything left.
Good.
On
hold
the
on. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. So this is Rashi. This is Rashi saying he didn't go out. He didn't do his mission. He didn't do his job. Noach sent him out. He didn't do the job. He just circled around. So what's his job? Rashi, you're telling me he had a job, but what was it? Says the Svarno, as maybe you would understand, maybe you had thought before you came today. The raven went out to see if the atmosphere was clear. Was it still too humid, too wet? Was the air breathable? Achar sheniru rashi har, because they saw the tips of the mountains. That the raven was sent out in order to figure out whether or not it's inhabitable, to see if you could breathe out there. And then, so according to the Svarno, according to source number 3, did the raven do its job or not?
Yeah. Because
he went out, and it was clear that he couldn't stay out there. He kept coming back, and he kept going out, kept going back. So it's clear that the raven, according to the Svarno, did his job. According to Rashi, he didn't do his job. According to Sforno, he did do his job. According to Rashi, we don't know what the job was. According to Sforno, the job was in order to see if the air was clear enough for him to breathe.
It's like the coal miners that have the bird in the cage and keeps the bird. They keep the bird.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. A canary. This way, if the canary dies, they know that they can't breathe in the cave.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I never knew that. Yeah. But yeah, the raven apparently had that kind of sensitivity,
right,
that it would be able or unable to tolerate the atmosphere. And because it was not able to tolerate the atmosphere, Noah had known the raven was giving his message back. The question on this Svarno, however, is, well, what?
Well,
how did the Svarno know? That's first of all. But
if he was doing his job,
and if he was doing it, so what's with the Yonah? Wait, if the raven's doing his job, so why do you need to introduce somebody else? Why are you taking the raven's job away? Is this some kind of like new technology, older age, couldn't figure it out? Like, why? What is the raven's problem, deficiency in his role? So this brings us to the Radak. The Radak has a very interesting answer. This comes back to what Miriam was trying to say before I rudely interrupted her.
Never.
So the Radak says the following. Vayishlach as ha'orev. Amar ha'orev ochel basar. What does an orev do? Says Noach, an orev eats meat, and he could find carcasses of people, v'habema, and of animals. V'im yachzru kol kach hamayim, and if the water had receded enough, sheyimatzei nevelos shehem moshlachem ba'aretz, that it could find carcasses that were strewn out onto the land, yavi befiv shum basar, he would bring back some meat. V'neda ki chasru hamayim, or chisru hamayim, and therefore we would know that the water had receded, because the raven would have meat in its beak. And if the raven had meat in its beak, it must be that there are carcasses out on the land that the raven could get to. V'shalchu v'lo hevi davar b'fiv, and the raven goes out and doesn't have anything when it comes back. V'ra'ehu yatza yotze v'shov. He would see, the Noach would see that the raven went out and he came back. V'lo hikir mimenu davar ki'im haya nichnas b'kano. It didn't see anything that went into its beak. V'yotze lirosi mimatze makal mashachno v'shev el kano v'ze asa ad yivosh esamayim. And it went out back and forth until he could finally figure out whether or not whether or not there was a carcass that was available for the raven. So first of all, the Radak is fascinating, because what it does is it at least gives us a certain distinction between the raven and the dove. What was the difference between the raven and the dove? The raven would go out and he would see if there were carcasses available, and the Yonah would go out to see if there was vegetation available. Right? They're two different species. So in some ways, you can understand it in the following very pragmatic way, which is the raven would go out to see what's on the land. Right? That's one level of receding. If the water had gone all the way down to the land, Noah says, the raven came back, it's got nothing in its beak. That means that the water is not yet at land. Now let me send out the dove. Because the dove is not just going to go look at the land, but he could also look at the branches. He could also look at what's higher up, if the trees have any vegetation. And ultimately the dove comes back and he actually has a branch in his beak to show that it's true. We didn't get to the land yet, but at least the tree is visible. The tree is accessible. And if you notice also at the end of that paragraph that we read, he continues to send out the Yonah. The Yonah comes back with the branch. And he knew kikalu hamayim al haaretz, that the water was receding. V'yachel od shivas yomim achirim. And then he waits another 7 days. Why are you waiting another 7 days? It came back with the thing in its beak. That was the whole purpose. Now it's back, so why are you waiting again? So presumably you're waiting again, maybe according to this Radak, because the dove is that added sort of the next step up in terms of the receding of the water. That if the water hadn't yet receded all the way to the ground, it at least receded enough so that the dove could get the branch from the tree. But now we have to wait a little longer until the water continues to recede all the way to the land. And presumably that's at least one way to understand the Radak in a pragmatic way, which understands the differentiation between the raven's role and the dove's role. Yeah, Viva. I think so. I'm not sure. It's an interesting point. It's clear from the people that Hashem originally told them only vegetation, and then after this tells them also animals. Is it clear about animals eating other animals yet?
Well,
I'm not
lions,
sure.
Was he feeding the lion meat?
And was he feeding the lion meat? He was feeding the lion, that's for sure.
He was feeding the lion.
I'm not sure. Was he feeding the lion meat? I don't know. There's a midrash that talks about. There's a midrash that talks about the fact that Noah was late in feeding the lion one day, and he bit him. I don't know if that bite was because he was hungry or because he was trying to hurt Noah. I'm not really sure, but that's also relevant to the one of the first shiurim that we gave Shabbos afternoon, which was how to treat your pets and making sure that you feed them before yourself. It's learned out from Noah. It would have been a good cheer for this Shabbos afternoon, but we already learned it. We can do Chazara, but we'll learn something else hopefully Shabbos afternoon. I don't know what yet. So.
Oh, but isn't the nature of the bird the nature of the bird? I mean,
yeah,
you know,
but there is.
The
right,
farm,
yeah,
the
right. So, I mean, the ravens are meat eaters regardless of what happening, but we know from the Nachash that the species can change their status and change their diets. So I can't tell you for sure. My hunch is, at least based on the Radak, that it obviously already had, you know, he was already carnivore, but I'm not sure. But I think this Radak goes even a step further, even a step beyond just the pragmatism, just the practicality of understanding how low the water is. And that is the difference between the mission of the raven in regards to Noah, and the mission of the dove in regards to Noah. Not just in terms of where the water is, but also in terms of the progression of the world. Because there's a big difference between what the raven is looking for and what the Yonah is looking for. What's the raven looking for, according to the Radak?
A meal.
The raven is looking for a meal. What kind of meal? No, the raven is looking for meat. What kind of meat? Meat from a dead body.
What?
Is that what it's called?
I think that's what it's called.
What?
How do they know that he's looking for a meal from a dead body?
That's what the Radak explains was Noah's purpose in sending out the raven.
Yeah, but one of the
where he learns that from, I don't know.
Disintegrate it from water by
maybe a little bit. Maybe some would wash up. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you for sure. It's not like this is not years. This is not years long. This is like a few months away, right? It's a few months long so far. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that works. Baruch Hashem.
If you watch enough CSI and NCIS.
Yeah, we'll consult the shows.
And they're bloated after being in the ponds for a month or whatever.
I don't know. Either way, so the raven is looking for dead meat, and the Yonah is looking for what?
Live vegetation.
Live vegetation. Raven is going out to make sure that the previous world is finished. The raven is looking for death, making sure that the entirety of the world has been destroyed. How is he going to show that? By bringing back meat, bringing back something from a carcass, something that represents the death of the previous world. The Yonah is not being sent out to determine the death of the previous world, but to determine the new life of the future world. And he brings back a brand new leaf, a brand new olive branch to show Noah that it's not just the case that the previous world has passed away, the previous world is dead, like the raven was supposed to tell him, but it's also the case that the new world has begun. And that's when Noah is finally at ease to go find land. But the truth is that although that's a very powerful message, or a very powerful distinction between the raven and the dove, it doesn't really answer our questions. Because although the Radak likes to read into the story that he sent the raven out to go get meat, it's not in the Pasuk. It never says such a thing. In fact, it doesn't really tell us anything about the raven. It has 6 psukim about the dove, and it tells us one thing about the raven. He was sent out, and he never really came back. Or he came back, but he never came inside the teva. He was just sent out into the atmosphere, and that's it. We have no other information about the raven.
We have no indication that Hashem told him what to do after the flood was done.
No, it doesn't sound like that. No, this is all Noah's own thinking. And you'll see from the next source why that's even more important. Because the Midrash picks up on something very interesting. And that is, I think, specifically these words, Vayishalachas ha'arev, with no other conditions, no other missions, no other details. If you look at the Midrash in source number 5, Vayihi miketz ha'arevayim yom vayiftach Noach, hada messiah luhahul de'amar Rabbi Abba bar Kahana chalon. This is a proof, as I said before, to the person who thinks that Noach made a window, and not just a stone. And then the Midrash continues, Vayishalachas ha'arev, and he sent out the raven, He sent out darkness and it became dark. A pasuk in Tehillim that we'll probably read next week at Minyan time. So there's an interesting juxtaposition that the Midrash is saying. On the one hand, Vayishalachas ha'orev, and on the other hand, Shalach Choshech. What does that mean? He sent out the raven and he sent out darkness. Okay? Then the Midrash continues, Vayetze Yatzov Ashov. Rabbi Yudan b'shem Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Simon Hischil Meshivo Tshuvos. That the raven started to talk to Noach. Little Dr. Doolittle here. Amar lo, Mikol behem achaya va'of, sheyesh kan, eina tamishalech elali. It should be L-O-C. Of all the animals, all of the birds, all of the domesticated, all of the wild animals that you have here on the teva. You chose me. I'm the lucky winner that you're going to send out of the teva. I want to stay here and be protected. I want to stay under a roof. I want to still have your food. You're going to send me out on this mission. We don't know what's out there yet. Says Noach back to the raven. Amar lo, you know why I'm sending you. Ma tzorech le'olam bach. What does the world need of you? Lo la'achila v'lo l'karban. Nobody eats ravens. I don't know if he's referring to a kashrus problem here or not. But no, the raven is not edible. And you're not being brought for a karban. When I get off this teva and I bring all of the behemos tahoros, all of the pure animals, you're not on the list. So what's your purpose in life? You're a raven. You bring us no benefit. So says Noach, you know what I'm sending you? Because you're useless. That's what he says. According to this Midrash, you don't provide us with anything. And that's why I'm sending you out. According to this, what does it mean, Vayishalachas ha'orev? It doesn't mean I'm sending you out on a mission.
I'm getting rid of you.
I'm getting rid of you. You're fired.
Oh.
Vayishalachas ha'orev. It doesn't say why. It doesn't say what his purpose was. Vayishalachas ha'orev. Vayetze yatzav ashov. And the raven on his own goes out and comes back. Because as the Midrash is explaining now, the raven didn't want to leave. So he goes out because Noach is throwing him out, but then he comes back. And then it says, Ad Yevosha Samayim Me'al Aretz, he would come back for refuge to the ark, back and forth, until the water would recede, and then he could go live by himself. He could find his own food. But this Midrash is telling us, the raven didn't want to go, but Noach didn't want him there either. Right? As some people like to say after they finish their Shabbos meal, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Right? Raven, I don't care where you go, but I don't want you anymore. You're useless for me. There's nothing I can do with you. You can't be eaten, and you can't be brought as a carbon. So what good are you? What are you good for? Then comes Rabbi Barachia, and he says the conversation didn't end there. It might not be with the raven anymore, but somebody else has something to say. Rabbi Barachia b'shem Rabbi Abba bar Kahana Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kablo. Hashem stepped in and says, Noach, you better take this raven. Accept him. Bring him in. Sha'asid ha'olam hitzdarech lo. Because in the future, the world is going to need this species. Why? Amar lo emasai, says Noach, when in the world would you ever need a raven? I'm looking at this guy. I can't figure out why you would ever need him. Says Hashem, Amar lo, ad yevosha samayim ya'al aretz, once the world is once again dry, Asid tzaddik echad lamod. There's going to be a tzaddik in the future. Uliyabesh hasa'olam, he's going to also bring a drought into the world. Who's that going to be? Who brings a drought? Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet, brings a drought. Va'ani matzrich olo. And I'm going to need the raven for his purposes. Why? Hadahu dechsev, the pasuk in Malachim says, v'ha'oravim mevi'un lo lechem v'basar v'boker v'lechem v'basar v'erev. That the ravens would bring food to Elijah the prophet when he was running away from everybody else who hated him for bringing the drought. He had to go hide somewhere else. And he said, I don't need anybody else. Hashem will provide for me. How did Hashem provide? By giving him a raven. A raven who would go get meat, pick up food, and bring it back to Eliyahu in the place where there was a drought so that he could be sustained. He could have his food. So says Hashem to Noach, you think this guy is useless. Maybe what you see on the outside, you see him, you don't understand what he could possibly be used for. But rest assured, I know what his purpose is. And there is something good that comes of the raven. Now, what I find interesting about this is not only the conversation, which is just an astonishing dialogue between Noach and the raven, and then between Noach and Hashem. But what I also find interesting is how it connects it to the beginning of the Midrash, connects it to the Pasuk in Tehillim. Now, you have to take this with a little bit of homiletics. But it seems like this is what the message of the Midrash is. What is the connection between sending out the raven and sending out darkness?
Same terminology.
Well, Vayishalach.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a pretty generic word. So what's the connection between the raven and darkness?
But what do you mean sending out darkness?
The raven is what?
The window?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You'd have to look at the Tehillim over there to see what it's referring to. They're both dark. What does darkness represent? Darkness represents unknown. It represents possible death. It represents a lack of clarity. It represents impurity. The Yona, in contrast, is very pure, very white. We dress up like angels on Yom Kippur in white. The whiteness represents a purity. What's Noah thinking to himself? I don't know if anyone watched this film called Noah. It gets almost everything wrong, and the default position is that they get things wrong, but there are some things that they get right. And one of the main aspects of the movie, internally, inside of Noah, I don't forget who, is it Russell Crowe? Is what it is. I think that's funny, actually. I never thought about that. I don't think the raven even is in the movie. I don't remember the movie. It was a long time ago already. But one of the internal dilemmas that Noah is going through is whether or not he's supposed to recreate the world. Is he supposed to repopulate the world? Hashem basically said that this world is useless. This world is not doing what I want it to do, so I'm going to destroy it. And Noach is sitting here thinking to himself, well, we've got a big task on our hands. We have to make sure that this world is pure. We have to make sure that the same thing's not going to happen later on. We have to make sure that anything which is a negative force, anything which is not necessarily going to help us in creating a world of peace and creating a world of prosperity has to be gotten rid of.
Well, that was shot in 5 minutes.
What do you mean? When with the flood?
When his daughter's
Oh, okay, yeah, that's later. Yeah. The movie is one thing. But when...
No.
Right. But when Noah is looking at this raven, he sees the darkness of the raven. And he says that this world that we're trying to rebuild is not meant to have darkness. It's not meant to have impurity. And therefore, I'm going to send you out. And in response, Hashem says, you might see this raven and look at it and think impure because it looks dark. It looks like choshech. It looks like uncertainty. It looks like something you don't know what it is. It looks like death. But you should know it has a purpose too. And that's what potentially Noach is thinking when he sees the orev, the raven. What's interesting about the word orev? It means it could be mixture, right? Like an erev is a mixture, or a taroves is a mixture, but it also means erev. It could also be a reference to nighttime. That the orev is connected to darkness. And Noah says we've had enough darkness in this world. We need more light. And I think what's interesting about this, if you take a look back at source number one, there are two words in the Psukim about the Yonah, which seemed to me to be unnecessary. If you look at Pasuk Yud, Vayachel od shivas yamim acherim, that he waited another 7 days. Vayosef shalach ha-seyonah min ha-teva. And he then again sends out the yonah from the teva. Vatavo elav ha-yonah. When did the yonah come back? La'es erev. Who in the world cares what time of day the yonah came back? What does it matter? Why is it important for us to know that the yonah came back at nighttime? Just tell us the yonah came back. That's the important part, that he came back and he's got something in his mouth. What does it matter that it's not nighttime? So perhaps on a homiletical level, this is Hashem's response to Noach. You tried to send out the Orev, and I tried to tell you, the Orev has a purpose too. You're going to send out the Yonah because you think it's so pure. I'm going to bring it back at nighttime. To show you the same thing, that the Yonah, even in its purity, there's what to be done at night. There's what that's beneficial at nighttime. There is another understanding of this, which talks about how quickly the Yonah came back the same day, but at least on a homiletical view, we can understand it like this. Another interesting nuance in the verses from beforehand, if you look at Pasuk Ches, Vayishalachas ha-yonah, and he sends out the yonah. You'll notice that in the Pasuk before, Vayishalachas ha-orev, it stops there. There's an esnachta, right? It's a clear stop. He sent out the dove. He sent out the raven. And here in Pasuk Ches, what does it say? Vayishalachas ha-yonah me'ito, from himself. What does he mean, from himself? Is he going to send him out from somebody else? Vayishalach ha-yonah me'ito. Noah had an affinity, had a closeness, had a love for this dove. It was part of him. He thought that the dove was something that he should keep close by. The raven was not me'ito. It wasn't something he wanted. He just sent it out. If you keep looking, v'lomatza ha-yonah ma-noach l'kaf ragla v'atashav elav el ha-teva. He comes back, not to just the teva, but to Noach. Kimaim al pnei kol ha'aretz v'yishlach yado. Who's sending out his hand? Noach puts his hand out the window and says, Yonah, I want you back. The Noach is the one that brings him back. V'yavei osa elav el ha'teva. And he brings him back to himself. This dove and Noach were very close. They had a certain intimacy. Noach loved the dove, but he had nothing for the raven. You can see it in the psukim themselves, that there was a closeness between Noach and the dove, but when it came to the Orev, Vayishalach ha-Orev, he wanted nothing of it. Just get out of here. And that's what I think the raven is giving over when the Midrash is giving over about the raven when it's talking about why Noach sent him out, because he's just trying to get rid of him. There's no use. And Hashem says, no, even the raven who you think is dark, even the raven who you see as an impure species, has what to do, has a purpose, and has something beneficial later on in history. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, an interesting Gemara, that someone who's born under the celestial, stage of Mars, whatever this means, to be ma'adim yihi gavar ashid dama, that someone who's born in the constellation of Mars is going to be a spiller of blood. That's what it says. A spiller of blood. Sounds very negative. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Ashi, source number 6. I umna, I ganva, I tavcha, I mo'ala. When you're born into this type of constellation, maybe you would think this person's going to be a bad person. But the truth is, he has a lot of different avenues. Spiller of blood sounds very aggressive. Sounds very negative. Sounds very violent. But the truth is, says the Gemara, says Rav Ashi, he has different options. He could be a bloodletter. In those days, a doctor. Right? Someone to heal. He could be a thief. He could be a violent. He could be aggressive. Or he could be a tavcha. He could be a shochet. Someone who provides meat for people. And lastly, he could be a moel. He could use his personality traits that he's been gifted in order to actually help the Jewish people, to do circumcisions. Meaning that even if someone is born into a situation which looks negative, even if they have a certain personality that predisposes them to violence or to aggression, that's not necessarily telling us that they are useless or that they're only negative. That they can use that personality, those negative traits, that seemingly negative personality in good ways. Because oftentimes we get a little bogged down thinking that someone has a certain personality, that means they must be like this. They're no good. There's no use for them in the world. We look at a raven, we see the darkness, and we say, it must be, we got to get rid of this thing. But the truth is, there's a purpose for everything, even if it might look a little dark. The Maharsha explains, Im ola hachanam yesh lefarish delo nigzar ela she hashidama. The only thing the person is destined to is to spill blood. It doesn't say how. Hashem gives us personalities that maybe have dispositions towards certain things, but it's up to us to decide how we're going to use those dispositions. Ulufi bechiraso shel adam, and in accordance to that person's decisions, iumna shurishus, you could do something which is pariv, right, which is neutral. You could do something like bloodletting. Iganva, he could become a thief. Shehu iser, which is wrong, which is bad. Veimoala, or he could be a moel, which is a mitzvah. You can do whatever you want. Hashem gives you certain personality traits, gives you certain dispositions, and it's up to us to decide how we're going to use it. We could use it for good, we could use it for bad, or we could use it for neutral things. And this, I think, is a potential message of what Hashem is trying to teach Noah in the aftermath of the flood. It's true, Hashem says, I've destroyed the world because they were making mistakes. I destroyed the world because they had reached a point of no return. But that's not to say that anything that looks bad is therefore bad. That's not to say that you should mimic what I'm doing. That's not to say that you know as much as I do. Because the truth is, you don't know anywhere near what I do. Because Hashem says to Noah, it might look bad to you as a human being, but I'm telling you that there is a purpose to this raven. As Edgar Allan Poe would say, maybe you would think there's nothing good for the raven. It's this evil force in the world. Nevermore. But the truth is, says Hashem, there is a purpose. You might not see it, but later on there's going to be a purpose, even if it looks right now to be a negative. And I think that explains Vayishalach HaSayonah. Noach tried to get rid of it. But Vayetzi Yotzev Ashov, that the raven was coming back. And that's what Noach tried to do in the aftermath, send out the dove. I want the dove to do our bidding. I want the dove, who's pure, to do what we need him to do. And I think in even heavier homiletics, you can extend this to the conclusion of the story. What's the conclusion of the story? What does Hashem say to Noach in the aftermath of the flood? I'm going to give you a sign that's going to show you that this will never happen again. What's the sign?
A rainbow.
That things are not, as we say in modern colloquialisms, things are not black and white. There's an entire spectrum of colors. And every single person might look like one or might look like the other, but the truth is that they're made up of many colors. Scientifically, the color black is actually the culmination of all colors, as opposed to the color white, which is the absence of all colors. So it's true that the raven might look black and dark and uncertain on the outside, but on the inside, is made up of all these different colors. And Hashem says to Noah, it won't happen again. You know why? Because of the rainbow. Because of the colors that are inside of every person. That there are things that person could produce, there are things that people can produce benefit for the world, even if we don't see them on the outside, even if it looks dark on the outside. And that's Hashem's specific message through the rainbow. You know, we just read a couple weeks ago about another Yonah. What's the other Yonah that we read about?
No.
The prophet named Jonah. What did Jonah say to Hashem?
No.
I want Nineveh to be destroyed. I know you're telling me to go try to bring Nineveh back, but they're bad people. I want to get rid of them. Another Jonah who represents the same idea, that if someone's looking like they're not good, then therefore we have to get rid of them. Therefore we can't help them. And Hashem says to that Jonah, you're also coming la'es erev. You're also going to come back to recognize the benefits of darkness, the benefits of people who maybe aren't at that stage where you would like them to be yet, but that they're still beneficial, they're still worthwhile, they're still people that we can count on for certain things, as long as they're motivated to do the right thing. And this, I think, is something that we never really appreciate in the story of Noah, because oftentimes we just think, we like to skip to the beautiful dove. We like to talk about the olive branch. We like to talk about peace and rainbows and beautiful things. But the real message of Noach, the real message is embedded within the text, if you're willing to look at it, is that Noach is in an internal struggle. What is the purpose of the raven? What is the purpose of the things that look like in the world are useless? Things that we think might be, you know, to our detriment. Shouldn't we also destroy them like Hashem did? And Hashem says, no, just because I destroyed the world because they passed a certain threshold doesn't mean that you should take into your own hands how to destroy what you think is bad. Everything that's going to come out in the world right now is actually really good. And we just, it's our task to figure out how to bring those colors out of each person. And I think that's the message of the raven. Even though it's a one-off pasuk, he sends the raven out and then we don't hear from him ever again. The raven is really the entire story. It's the crux, the epicenter of the entire struggle of the Mabul in aggregate, but also in this specific moment where Hashem is having this conversation with Noach. It's representative of what Noach is going through internally and what I think is the message to the entire people after the flood. That it's true, I destroyed the world, but now we have to realize the rainbow. We have to realize that everybody has colors on the inside. Even if it looks like on the outside, that might be a little dark, that might be a little uncertain. We all have to task ourselves with that obligation of making sure that we bring the best out of everybody and out of everything that we find in the world, no matter what it looks like on the outside. That's the story of the raven, and that's the story of the flood. Okay, welcome back. It's good to be back.
Oh my God, Mirtz
Hashem, I will see you next week.